Good morning and welcome to CFAX Sunday Morning Public Affairs on CFAX 1070, Victoria's News Authority, broadcasting from British Columbia's capital city. My name is Bob Russell. I'll be your host today. I'm joined in the studio by my co-host, John Jurisic, owner, Harbor Digital Media, past president of the Greater Victoria Chamber of Commerce, and current director of the BC Chamber of Commerce. We have a Twitter feed for those of you who may want to contact us during the show with a question or a comment. We can't promise that it will get on air, but we can promise that it won't if you don't. John, do you maybe want to tell our listeners about the Twitter feed?
You bet, Bob. Now, I know that you're technologically challenged, so well, this is an internet thing called the Twitter.
Internet. Okay. That's that thing Al Gore invented, right?
That's correct, yeah. Okay. Yeah, don't tell Romney. Okay, so we've set up a Twitter feed reflecting the new name, Sunday Morning Public Affairs, and the if folks would go to SUNAMPA, that's SUNAMPA, and for those that are familiar with Twitter, simply follow, and if you have something you'd like to say to Bob, because that's how it usually works.
Okay.
Then we can read from there and react accordingly.
Great.
If we don't like what they're saying, then you can send it to me.
Okay. I will do that, John. Thank you for that, and hopefully you'll participate that way. Today, on today's show, we are going to be talking about food. There is a new awareness of how the food we buy and consume affects our health, the environment, and the economic well-being of our neighbors. The expression, "you are what you eat," isn't just gaining a whole new resonance. It's evolved into, "we are what we eat." Healthier food and more of it is appearing in grocery stores. Community gardens are springing up. Local farmers markets are proliferating, and menus and restaurants are changing to reflect consumers' demands for real food, not something that has been overly processed or genetically modified. Yet ignorance and confusion abounds as barely a week passes without a report from somewhere about the health pros and cons of some diet or food, contradicting what people had understood, been told, or what some other study showed. Consumers may be reading more labels and asking more questions, but they are also being overwhelmed with an abundance of information no one is organizing for them, or they are untrained to understand. And alarmingly, as some studies about consumer choice during a recession indicate, there is a belief, maybe real, that eating healthy requires a financial choice that many and sadly most of our seniors are not making when times are difficult. Joining us now is Gail Hammond. Gail is a lecturer in UBC's Faculty of Land and Food Systems. She has a PhD in human nutrition. And in addition to co-authoring several journal articles, she's co-author of a book entitled Understanding Nutrition. Welcome to the show, Gail.
Thanks, Bob. It's a pleasure to be here.
Great. Your book, I was hoping you could clarify something for me. Am I correct that you are about to release a Canadian edition?
Actually, we have just released the Canadian edition. It's a textbook that was used throughout Canada,
mm-hmm.
We've put all Canadian information into the textbook. It's based on an American textbook that we used in the past.
So you had an American textbook prior to this?
That's right, yes. Yeah. And actually, it's only recently that we've been able to have Canadian editions of textbooks for introductory nutrition courses in Canada because the market has been small.
Mm-hmm.
And now publishers are getting on board with having Canadian editions.
Cool. Interesting.
Yeah.
You know, when I think of how differently we view food today than when I was a young boy, which, by the way, Gail, was a very long time ago, I'm struck by how much things have changed in just the last 10 years. What are some of the factors that have brought that about?
Well, I think the proliferation of information that's available to people generally through the internet is astounding how that's changed. People have access to information on the go now through mobile devices, and they can access information from various sources. Now, some of that information that's out there is more reliable than other types of information
mm-hmm.
that's out there. But just, I think, generally, an awareness, an increased awareness of making healthier choices, has come about, governments have gotten on board around that because they're seeing that people are asking the questions. They're coming to dietitians, if they're visiting with dietitians, health professionals, with more informed questions, and that's due to the proliferation of information out there.
Mm-hmm. I guess, you know, I think of other factors as well. I mean, there's you know, people talk about obesity and it being, you know, first or second, you know, health threat we face as a society. And, you know, where we also have a problem with you know, rampantly uncontrolled growing health care costs. You know, you bring the two together, and certainly you'd think on the one hand there's an incentive for government to get on this. But on the other hand, I mean, people are, you know, they hear about obesity, they read about obesity, and they also, they just have to walk around the neighborhood and they see obesity. I mean, you know, how big of a factor is that being?
Well, definitely sort of the linkage between diet and health. And particularly, really, when we're talking about obesity, we're really talking about a disconnect between calories that are consumed and calories that are expended. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean that in a simplistic way at all. It's a very complex issue. But when we start to see where are people getting information about calories as well as the nutrient density of foods, which includes vitamins and minerals, mm-hmm. We are seeing that some of them, maybe the more guiding, more general guiding tools that we have are not directly addressing the calorie content. Mm-hmm. So if we look at the national level and we have Eating Well with Canada's Food Guide, that is a guide that is designed for all Canadians, aside from infants. And it is used to guide people. It's got a lot of science behind it, and nutrient density is pretty well ensured if you kind of follow the suggestions of how many servings from each food group. But one of the missing sort of key components is the calories, because you can select a number of different foods from each of the food groups. So you can have higher fat and lower fat choices, say, in the milk and alternatives group. So when you choose a higher fat choice, and if you're not balancing that off with fewer calories coming in through your other dietary choices during the day, then you're going to have more calories coming in. So the whole idea around calories and how much energy foods are providing is a little bit challenging for consumers to figure out, I think, unless they're really trying to understand it in earnest. But for the general consumer who just goes and buys food and doesn't really think too seriously about what they're buying, which is a lot of people, surprisingly, mm-hmm. Then the calories might get a little bit out of control.
Well, I know John Jurisic has a question for you, but we're going to have to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back.
From the CFAX 1070 Community Cruiser, here's what's happening.
Register now for the 4th Annual Tour de Rot Golf Tournament happening Tuesday, September 18th at the Cowichan Golf and Country Club. Help CTV News reporter and Tour de Rot media writer Aaron Glazier raise money for the Canadian Cancer Society and its pediatric research and prevention programs. Don't miss out. The last day to register is September 12th. Saturday, September 8th at UVic's Parking Lot 10 is Family Fun Drive-In Night. The main feature is A League of Their Own. Gates and food and entertainment start at 5:30. The main show is at 7:30. The UVic Center on Aging is celebrating its 20th anniversary. Help raise money for scholarships so students can follow their dreams. Discover what the Victoria Conservatory of Music has to offer at their 4th annual open house on Saturday, September 8th. Find out more, cfax1070.com.
Watch for our Mini Cooper Clubman at local events. Sponsored by Mini Victoria and Windsor Plywood. From Victoria's News Authority, CFAX 1070.
Right now, Jill is wailing on her guitar. But a year ago, it was just a dream. Then she started building her rebate at Peninsula Co-op. Fuel for the car, coffee at the convenience store, visits to the touchless car wash. And when she got her rebate check, she made that guitar hers. Maybe next year's rebate will pay for lessons. Peninsula Co-op members got 5 cents per liter on all fuel purchases last year. Visit your local co-op today.
Stop, fill it up at your co-op. Moving ahead by getting back.
Please join me, Dr. Harold Hollis, and the Dermaspot team for our 13th anniversary celebration. Stop by our open house from 3 to 7 p.m. on Thursday, September the 27th, where you will enjoy refreshments, mini spa treatments, and live demonstrations. You will also be entered to win exciting hourly prizes and a chance to win our grand prize valued at $2,500.
Attend Dermaspa's 13th anniversary celebration open house at 1830 Oak Bay Avenue or visit them online at dermaspa.ca for more info.
I just got the Samsung Galaxy S2 from Virgin Mobile, and because I'm a member, I also get exclusive access and deals from awesome brands like West 49. So not only did I get a new smartphone, I got a new hoodie too, a super cozy hoodie. Does your phone keep you cozy? Didn't think so.
Virgin Mobile members get smartphones from $0 like the Samsung Galaxy S2, plus exclusive access and deals like up to $20 off at West 49. Visit a Virgin Mobile store or virginmobile.ca for details. It's better to be a member.
CFAX breaking news about the earthquake.
Knocked my pictures right off the wall.
And covering the aftermath.
About 25 apples from an immature fruit tree and 10 pears came down off my fruit tree.
Afternoons with Ryan Price on CFAX 1070.
Welcome back. You're listening to CFAX Sunday Morning Public Affairs on CFAX 1070, Victoria's News Authority. We're talking with Gail Hammond, nutritionist and lecturer in UBC's Faculty of Land and Food Systems. John, you had a question?
Yeah, thanks, Bob. Hi, Gail. Good morning. Nice to meet you.
Hi, John.
Let me pull things back a little bit here, outside of the details. So, so here I'm sitting here. I'm in my 50s. I'm what some would call heavy set.
John is being very generous, Gail. Okay.
I have been in the private sector all my life, worked constantly, and frankly not paid a whole bunch of attention to food, its effects on me, its effects on the economy, how it impacts all of the things that I do. I have a lovely daughter, Catherine, currently attending UVic, who is completely opposite, acutely aware of food, how it impacts her life, how it impacts businesses and friends. Give me a sense societally here, demographically, where are we sitting? Am I a typical person within my age group wondering, you know, what is this thing about food? And are we starting to open our eyes to how it's impacting us on so many levels?
I believe so. I think more and more, especially now that we're turning towards looking at supporting local economies, certainly the economic side of things, the environmental side of things, just even making connections with people in your neighborhood through a community garden or something like that. These are all bigger picture ideas that are receiving or issues that are receiving attention. So we want to reduce transportation effects of burning fuel to bring produce from far away to where we are. We want to create jobs in our own communities. We want to make sure that we're getting the freshest produce that we can to sort of maximize our health. So these are all bigger issues that I think are coming into the broader conversations that people are having these days, and food is just connecting all of those.
Yeah.
So going for the more local food and trying to support your local farmers is a benefit in many, many ways.
Well, it's fascinating how at least from folks in from my perspective, that this sort of thing was the purview of a certain part of our society, that it was reserved for over there, but in fact it's becoming very mainstream, and I don't think we have a lot of information around around really how it's impacting us, how profoundly it's impacting us. And so I became very interested in Bob's attention to this matter today, and from hearing from you. I mean, one of my favorite shows to watch down in the U.S., I mean, we referenced that earlier, was this show called The Biggest Loser. And there's just you know, not only is there, yeah, what are you laughing about?
Sorry, Gail.
Let me give some context to this.
Okay.
So they're folk, and you know, it's not as much the games that they play to lose weight. It's as much, you know, how did they get there?
Yeah.
What are the things that brought them to that place?
Yeah.
And those are the things that are happening to all of us every day.
I agree. I think that people have, you know, certainly some people have really focused on careers or raising families or various other parts of their lives. And the food has, well, we came through a very, a period where food was very plentiful. We didn't really have to think too much about its availability. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking just sort of in historically, say, in the last 40, 50 years. And then we moved into a phase now where I see people are very much more connecting with the food. And I think, you know, certainly the health effects, the increasing obesity and overweight that we're seeing, and that's receiving a lot more attention because of its sort of more other kinds of health effects, like on heart health and that sort of thing. But I think what I see is just this wave, and now people, we have these young farmers, we have children learning how to grow school gardens in their schoolyards and cooking and learning the cooking skills that are needed as lifelong skills to eat more healthily.
And
I also think, I'm sorry, Bob.
That's okay.
Sorry, John. But I also think that teaching the children, going back, instead of going through that whole sort of what I consider the microwave phase, where you just pop food in, prepared food in to the microwave, you heat it up, and there's dinner. There's no cooking involved. And so now we're starting to see more cooking skills being incorporated. And you know, cooking takes time. And
thought and planning. Yes, I agree.
And knowing what to do. And there are, you know, certainly ways to, or sort of advice that you can get, like the HealthLink BC Dietitian Services. That's you can just call 811 and you can talk to a registered dietitian there. They can help you with meal planning. They can help you with recipes. You can go to the Dietitians of Canada website and analyze your own recipe and just see what kind of nutrient profile it has.
Yeah.
And there are so many other reliable tools that people can turn to you know more about the foods that they're eating.
Well, in the spirit of TV shows that I'm referencing, Bob, I watched a PBS show.
Well,
that's legitimate.
There you go.
Needless to say, it was talking about the rooftop gardens gardens that are exploding within these urban settings, and how people are starting to within cities.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
I think that's interesting. I'd like you to talk about cities versus rural, and then secondly, if you could reference quickly just the role of the large grocery store corporation in promoting a certain kind of lifestyle that actually kind of doesn't fit with this. You know, you walk into a big grocery store these days, 90% of what they're selling doesn't generally fall into the realm of healthy living. And why is that?
Why is that? Well, I think you'd have to ask the grocery store.
Oh, they declined to come on board today, so I'm asking you.
I would suggest that people stick to the perimeter of the stores and avoid going up and down the aisle.
Ah, there we go. I've actually never heard that before, but it makes all the sense in the world. A good, simple guide.
Uh-huh. That's it. And as far as your question about or thoughts about cities versus rural, the urban farming is taking off like a storm. As you say, there's rooftop gardens, there's vacant lots that are being converted into producing food, there's community gardens, there's neighborhood gardens, there's gleaning that where people have fruit trees and they're mm-hmm. not picking the fruit, and people can come in and pick the fruit and you know, get that to people who are in need, because there's a lot of people who are food insecure.
Mm-hmm.
So there are many good things going on across the province, I should say. And then also what I see is, if we look at even just the local farmers markets, mm-hmm. where you have Moss Street Market in Victoria, and those people are coming from the peninsula, and bringing their produce into the city, and people are purchasing it there. So I see there's a cross-pollination between the city people supporting the rural people. Mm-hmm. Now, that's, I know there's much more rural mm-hmm. rural people and farmers out there than just the peninsula, but there is that mutual support, and it's ethical, it's economical, it's environmental, and it's very fresh and healthy.
Yeah. When you know, John mentioned rooftop gardens, and you know, growing produce in an urban setting, reminds me of a good friend who is a college instructor here in town, and she was teaching some Chinese exchange students, and I think after several classes, you know, they were just sort of casually chatting, you know, before the lecture started. And one of the students said to her, I noticed, like, your lawns, you have grass. I was wondering, you know, how do you prepare that to eat it? And, you know, it was just brilliant.
That's a good question.
It was absolutely brilliant, you uh-huh. know, that, you know, what are we doing growing grass? I mean, uh-huh. you know, you know, even here in Victoria and certainly in Vancouver, I mean, there are people who are food challenged in a whole number of different ways, and we just waste a lot of space.
That's true.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you look at historically at Victoria, it was orchards.
Mm-hmm.
And now the development, of course,
yeah.
a long time ago now, but development took those orchards away. But there are fruit trees scattered around. And I think one of the things that people could do if they have a piece of property is to plant a fruit tree.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or plant blueberries, or plant raspberries.
Or plant potatoes.
Or plant potatoes in their front yard.
Yeah. I mean, I remember when I was, you know, much younger, and we moved to Edmonton, and it was a new development, and there was something about the soil that was helped for growing a lawn if the first year you grew potatoes. And so you'd dry, I remember, you know, being 5-6 years old, and their, you know, a house would be built, and their front lawn was all potatoes.
Yeah.
You know,
okay.
For
okay. Sure. Hold on. I'm becoming more sensitive to all these things.
Okay.
But with all due respect, Gail and Bob, I don't think I'm going to be growing potatoes in my front yard. But I think there is trending towards becoming more reflective on how these things are impacting us. And Gail, while we have you, and if I could generally say, academic component of our show here. Really, how is this trend towards being healthier via food? How is that changing in the cities versus not? Are there some numbers? Is there some way to calculate this sort of thing? Because folks generally say, this is not going to happen in Vancouver. It's not going to happen in Edmonton. Not going to happen in Calgary. I mean, if it doesn't happen there, it's not going to happen. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I don't particularly have any numbers in mind.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
I do know from certainly with my own students, they go out and participate in community-based experiential learning, which is a way to connect with people in the community and help people who are generally marginalized to become more food educated and more food aware, and help them create gardens in schoolyards and things like that. So we are connecting certainly people in different segments of society.
Mm-hmm. Well, Gail, I'm afraid we've run out of time. We could go on and on about this, I'm sure. Again, I thank you very much for making yourself available this morning, and hope the rest of your long weekend is a good one.
Great. It's been my pleasure.
Thanks, Gail. See ya.
All right. Thanks.
You've locked your doors. You think you're safe.
What?
But you can't stop. The arrival of your bills. CFAX 1070 understands. That's why we're giving you a chance to beat your bills. Head over to the all-new CFAX1070.com and show us the bill you want taken care of. Then beginning September 3rd, listen for Al Farabee to announce your name weekday mornings at 7:10. You can win $50 to spend at Red Barn Market, taking the pressure off your food bill. And you'll qualify to have CFAX 1070 pay up to $500 to beat your bills. To enter and for full details, head to CFAX1070.com. Don't yell at your bills.
Get away!
Bills, your bills with Red Barn Market and Victoria's News Authority. CFAX 1070.
When the cat's away.
And Camino Carpets, the boss is away. So the staff is at play with their no HST sale. Choose in-stock carpet or Lionel Rollins and pay no HST, a further savings of 12% on Camino's already low prices. And you can have your choice of in-stock flooring installed within 1 week guaranteed. Camino Carpets is more than just carpet. They carry a large selection of engineered hardwood, laminate, and stylish vinyl planking. For selection and value, Camino Carpets is the right choice. 3950 Quadra Street across from Lumber World.
Let the sun shine in with Excalibur Glass. Get more out of your outdoor or indoor deck with a custom all-glass railing. Constructed with aluminum post supports, these railings are durable and attractive with no top or bottom rail to obscure your view. And of course, it'll add value to your home. Get the most out of your scenery with a custom all-glass railing from Excalibur Glass. You'll clearly see the difference. Excalibur Glass and Aluminum, the homeowner's store, 2189 Keating Cross Road.
Get your property exposed to more than 10,000 visitors monthly at ronneal.com. That's ronneal.com.
Our previous agent didn't cut it. Nothing happened. The condo was empty for months. No showings and no communications. Once we got in touch with Ron, we had a full price offer within 2 weeks.
If you are serious about selling, call Ron Neal now at RE/MAX Alliance and start packing.
Call the Neal Estate Team for your real estate dream. RonNeal.com.
Adam Sterling here. Join us every weekday noon hour here at CFAX 1070 for the day's most comprehensive look at news, sports, and weather. Plus, we discuss and debate the issues of the day with the Lunch Bunch.
Adam Sterling and the Lunch Bunch on CFAX 1070.
Welcome back to CFAX Sunday Morning Public Affairs on CFAX 1070, Victoria's News Authority, broadcasting from British Columbia's capital city. I'm your host, Bob Russell, joined in the studio by my co-host, John Jurisic, and joining us now from beautiful James Bay is Ken Winchester. Ken and his partner, Jennifer McKimmy, own and operate the Niagara Grocery and Fairfield Market. Welcome to the show, Ken.
Well, thanks for having me.
Ken, how would you describe your business model?
Well, we are actually kind of an old-fashioned corner store, I guess is the best way to describe it. I think we've actually kind of gone back to the future to create our business model.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, one of the things I've noticed about it is that, you know, and you know, you are my corner store.
Right.
Is that, you know, I remember the store that used to be there. There was Locke, the owner, and his wife, and their son. You would never see all three of them there at the same time, but you'd see one or two of them there, but you never saw anyone else. I go into the store, and there's all sorts of people working there. How many employees do you actually have?
Well, between the two stores, at least a dozen people, including several family members,
right.
Which is kind of fun.
Yeah.
So that tradition is still there. But you're right. Niagara Grocery is actually the oldest grocery store in Victoria. It dates from 1909. So you can imagine all the changes it's gone through along mm-hmm. with the community it serves. I think like a lot of corner stores, it fell on hard times in the 70s, 80s, 90s with the rise of supermarkets. Mm-hmm. So 20 years ago, there were over 200 corner groceries in Victoria. Now there are less than a dozen. Mm-hmm. Because they've been forced to become convenience stores, basically, which is what Locke and May ran.
Mm-hmm.
Loveliest people in the world.
Yes, they were, yeah.
But the store was basically, you know, smokes and lotto and chips.
That's right,
and
yeah.
So what we noticed, my partner Jennifer and I, is that no one was really servicing local farms. At the big supermarkets, were more about convenience and having strawberries in February and that kind of thing. And there were all these local farms that were, you know, didn't really have an outlet. So slowly and surely over the last 3 years, it definitely wasn't an overnight thing, as you know. We started changing the store back into a proper grocery store.
Hi, Ken. John here.
Hey,
pleased
John.
To meet you. Like to... If you could talk a little bit more about your business model, you've alluded to that in your introduction. There, all of a sudden, 2-3 years ago, Walmart starts selling groceries. Costco's selling groceries. How do you compete? Is there enough money flowing from folks who want to shop local to keep you alive? I guess there is. You're calling us.
Yeah, there absolutely is. I mean, Vancouver Island... I was reading a statistic recently. Back in the 50s, 80% of our food was grown here on the island. Today, it's 5 to 10%.
Wow.
Which raises a secondary issue of food security. We have 3 days food supply here on Vancouver Island. So, you know, imagine if there's a ferry disruption or something, what would happen? But I think the more important aspect to us is that we grow beautiful, beautiful local food here on the island. It's fresh. In many cases, it's organic or sustainably farmed. And as Bob can testify, you try a free-range chicken breast from Saanich versus, you know, something you'd buy in a big box store. There's absolutely no comparison.
I, in large part, related to health and wanting to be a better person, etc., have started to pay much more attention to food and how it impacts me. Mm-hmm. And in the course of my wife and I searching out different kinds of foods and moving beyond the big grocery stores, have really noticed and felt a sense of community, a sense of sort of getting reconnected that has nothing to do with food. Mm-hmm. It is a good feeling, and it is fun to shop locally or within a store like yours, because I feel like I'm getting back to my city.
Yeah.
That's a side effect for me. That's actually a major societal effect, isn't it?
Well, I'll just jump in there, Ken. You know, our previous guest, I'm not sure if you're a listener or not, talked a little bit about how, you know, new approaches to food are bringing back a sense of community, and that's a big aspect about it. You know, what John's getting to, and an opportunity to reconnect. I mean, how do you see that playing out at your stores?
Well, I think you're absolutely right. Food builds community, and that was the whole notion behind the idea of a neighborhood store, a community store. We have kind of a saying here that our customers stock our shelves. So people will come in and say, "Hey, I tried this incredible, Vancouver Island salt." So we'll seek it out, we'll bring it in, we'll try it, and 9 times out of 10, people will love something new, something local, something healthy. Mm-hmm. We do a lot of gluten-free products, for instance, and people are more and more curious about, mm-hmm. even if they're not celiac, about, you know, eating less wheat. So I think that's one thing that makes our store different, and if you come in our store, you know, locals like Bob, you don't just buy your food and walk out. You have a little conversation. You tell
right.
a joke. You trade a
right.
recipe. What happens a lot is that people come in and say, what do I do with a Jerusalem artichoke? You're selling this locally grown. I've never cooked it before. So we'll say, well, here's how you prepare it. They go away. They come back a day or two later, and they're absolutely thrilled that they've discovered a new food.
Well, this component of this issue is one that I find particularly relevant. I'm a tech guy. I own a tech company. I live within an industry in which has often been criticized as being dehumanizing, that we're simply texting, tweeting, Facebooking each other without ever seeing, talking, or communicating. And this industry and this food brings a humanity back that frankly is refreshing. And I commend you therefore. But how do you deal economically with milk at, I don't know, a buck at Costco versus a buck and a half or $2 for you? Is there long-term sustainability for you here?
Yeah, I believe so, in balance. I mean, there are things that we bring in because we have to, and milk is a great example. We don't make money on milk. If we break even, we're happy. But people need milk. What we will do is bring in organic milk, or we will bring in an interesting yogurt, you know, sheep's milk yogurt from somewhere, and that's something that Costco won't do. You know, they're or whomever, they're into bulk. When we use the word local, we mean Vancouver Island. When some of the big box stores use the word local, they mean, well, BC, you know, Okanagan, what have you. So we try and stay focused as much as possible on what the community wants. Obviously, yes. Things like lemons and bananas, you know, I haven't seen anybody on the island grow them, but
right.
We'll at least get fair trade bananas or organic lemons in.
Another thing from my perspective, being involved with the chamber for so long and et cetera, and trying to promote and enhance youth initiatives and youth in our business community, this is an industry in which it bridges the generational gap, and youth can instruct, and I can be involved with their issues on this one. And I think that's fantastic. Tell me a little bit from your perspective. Is that happening? Do you see that happening? Is this a place where young and old can meet in the middle?
Yes, I think absolutely. One of the things I love about James Bay is it's a real slice of Victoria. You get every demographic in this community. So we have the oldsters on their scooters, and we have young families with kids running around the store. You know, we have a toy box in the corner so the parents can shop and relax, and you know, coffee's always on. Not long ago, we took out an entire aisle, and I built a 10-foot-long table just to see what would happen, and it's turned into this community table, so people come, sit, chat, have a coffee, do crafts. We like to connect the community with the farmers as well, so we'll literally bring in a beekeeper and his hive, so people can see what
right.
bees look like,
right.
how bees make honey. Or one day we brought a little baby lamb in. That was a big hit. Of course, we couldn't sell rack of lamb that day. But
I was just going to say, yes, and this cute little thing is going to be killed later.
Great. Now we're going to get some calls. focusing a little bit now in the last bit we have with you on the business model around distribution channels on the island. So there's yourselves. How do you connect with other – with the Island Farms is the perfect example. This was a company that connected all the island dairy producers. Are those sort of things starting to spring up? Are they already in existence? Are there island distribution channels that will give you product? And
no,
can we
really.
Help those grow? No.
Yeah, not really. We deal directly with close to 100 suppliers, which is crazy.
Wow.
But we're at the point now where most of them will come to us with stuff. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we never know some days who's going to come through the door. Somebody with, you know, 100 pounds of garlic from Gabriola, or, you know, some new product, something that they baked or created, or some produce that somebody was going to bring to the farmer's market that came to us first. Kind of thing. So we we have the flexibility to do that. And I have farmed on and off in my time, so I really love talking to farmers, getting to know them. And over the last 3 years, we've literally jumped in the car and gone out and met people in the field and struck up relationships. So those are now paying off. And we, in turn, support them if they have something that they need to sell. We'll buy it anyway, whether we need it or not, because we're trying to support them. And likewise, when we really need something, they'll usually come to our aid.
Right. Well, Ken, I'm afraid we're out of time. There was more we could talk about, but I thank you for being with us. And, I don't know, some old bald guy might just drop in later today. He tends to do that maybe once or twice a day and mostly just to annoy people. But
you're very good at that.
Yes, I've heard that. Anyways, have a good day, Ken, and thank you again.
It's a pleasure.
Thanks, Ken. See ya.
Hey, I'm your window. What's the problem? Oh, I'm glad you asked. As you can see, I'm a little fogged up, and I'm tired of it. My seal's been broken for weeks, and all you do is look at me puzzled. Oh, the window. Oh, you poor little thing. You got a little fog in you. How would you like it if you couldn't see anything, huh? How would you like it?
If you have fog on the inside of your thermal pane window, it means the seal is broken. Call First Response Glass. They'll give you a quick, free quote and fix it pronto. Hassle-free. First Response Glass fixes it.
End of the Rolls Big Anniversary Sale is finally here, where you can get exclusive introductory pricing on luxurious soft carpet. And that's just the beginning. For a limited time only, pay only $189 per square foot on premium laminate flooring. Get your entire home covered for less. It's all happening right now, so hurry in during the Big Anniversary Sale at our 53 locations nationwide.
Come see our new location on 601 Boleskine Road and on Millstream Road in Langford.
Shop with confidence at Save-On Foods. We're priced right. Rogers White Sugar, 10 kilos, just $9.99, limit of 2. Or Danone Creamy Yogurt, 24 times 100 grams, just $8.99. And don't miss the More Points event. Spend $200 and get 5,000 more rewards points. Redeem your points today at morerewards.ca. Save-On Foods, BC's very own since 1915.
Summer is here, and with Dyson, we're going to keep you cool and clean. Hi, it's Wendy from All Victoria Vacuums. Dyson reinvented the fan, and we have them. This air multiplier releases a steady stream of smooth air. Keep clean and on the ball with Dyson Vacuums. Canisters, uprights, and the super cool cordless vacuum. We have them all. They're powerful, lightweight, and remove even the smallest dust and dirt. All Victoria Vacuums, on the corner of Hillside and Cedar Hill for 34 years.
Okay, ladies, I say a phrase, you tell me bathtub or shower. A nightmare to clean.
Bathtub.
Correct. Hard to get in and out of.
Bathtub.
Right again. What you'd much rather have in your bathroom.
George Clooney. I mean, a shower with George Clooney.
Replace your awkward bathtub with an accessible modern shower. Island Marble can do it for less than $5,000, and you may qualify for a rebate. Call today for a free estimate. Victoria's Island Marble, your bath and kitchen experts.
Give us 10 minutes and we'll give you the world. Victoria's first choice for information, news that matters. If it's happening, it's here. Victoria's News Authority, CFAX 1070.
Welcome back to CFAX Sunday Morning Public Affairs on CFAX 1070, Victoria's News Authority, broadcasting from British Columbia's capital city. My name's Bob Russell. I'm joined in the studio with John Jurisic. And joining us now from beautiful downtown Pender Island is Dr. Jane Rezai. Jane has been a practicing naturopathic physician for 12 years, having only recently moved her practice to Pender Island, the downtown part. She also has 10 years experience teaching in the community, most often about nutrition as it relates to various conditions. Welcome to the show, Jane.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
Hi, Jane. It's John.
Hi, John.
Only the best naturopath on the planet.
Okay.
Catherine and Sarah, say hi.
Oh, well, say hi to them back. Thank you.
All right.
Okay. Are you two finished?
Yeah, we are now. Yeah.
Okay. I just want to carry on. Okay. As part of your practice, Jane, you place an emphasis on the importance of nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the more common challenges you face when trying to emphasize the importance of it with your patients?
there's lots of factors involved. And, you know, I'm probably going to touch on several things that Gail already talked about this morning. Great mm-hmm. show, by the way. I was listening right from the beginning, and she had some fabulous things to say. And I find it hard to talk about nutrition without the bigger context of food security and income mm-hmm. and all the rest of it. But when I boil it down to what I talk about with my patients, I think one of the most common things that comes up is confusion. Because there's so much food information out there on a daily basis, we're getting tossed all kinds of little tidbits and little bullets about the minutia of nutrition from the media, and people are becoming overwhelmed and very concerned and worried and confused. And part of my job, I find, is to sit down across that table from every single one of my patients and just boil food down to its basic foundations of just a healthy whole food diet. And I start from there, which is often quite a relief to people, that we're not going to get into how many ounces of caffeine should you have every day and how many tablespoons of peanut butter is too much. And we don't really go into those kinds of details because I find that that makes people far too worried and obsessed and stressed about their diet instead of bringing back the enjoyment of food and the ease with which we can be eating food in a healthy way. So that's kind of where I start with lots of people. That's one of the things that comes up quite a bit.
Well, you know, I mean, that's interesting. So many people out there have the impression that, you know, in order to eat properly, you know, it's not fun anymore.
Well, exactly. And, you know, food is near and dear to all of our hearts. I have probably met only two people in 12 years of practicing that have been completely scientific and pragmatic about their food intake.
Okay, excuse me. Would that be John and I?
John would definitely be one of them. Yes.
Oh, thank you. Not.
Most of us have a lot of feelings about what we eat. And we should. We should enjoy our food. The very first thing that we do when we're born is eat. Mm-hmm. So we should. We should be enjoying our food. The problem is, in North American society anyway, so much of our food is processed and packaged that the real enjoyment of food has been engineered and taste-wise, so that what we think of as tasty food is really very different than we would have experienced, I don't know, 100 years ago or more, or in other cultures.
Mm-hmm. So, Jane, I'd like to get a bit down and dirty here, a bit controversial. I want to talk about the potential for obvious conspiracy by the large grocery stores to ensure that we're not healthy, and just around why can't we see more of this sort of clearly beneficial benefits happening in the larger grocery stores? Talk to me about that as much as you can.
Right. Well, I really don't understand the politics of it enough to touch on that too much. But I will say that the larger grocery chains are making an attempt at responding to public demand for healthier food.
Okay.
And so not to diss them entirely, I think that you see more produce. Produce sections are becoming larger again. They shrunk quite a bit for probably three decades, and now they're becoming larger again in the bigger grocery stores. And you see more attention to local in some of the grocery stores are committing to local purchases when and where they can, and some of them, unfortunately, are not. But I think that the move is generally towards healthier food. The problem that I see with the big stores is they're still emphasizing packaged foods, healthier choices in packaged foods, but still nonetheless packaged and processed. And as Gail mentioned earlier, when you're shopping in a large grocery store, I tell my patients all the time, shop the periphery of the store first, and then walk down the aisles for some of the things that you can't get in the produce section, olive oil, toilet paper. I mean, the aisle should really be for some fairly minimal purchases, and everything else if you get some healthy dairy products and fish and some healthy meats and produce, you're doing pretty good. And I think something else that I want to bring up in relationship to food advice is is that we really need to be bringing people back to eating whole food and an awareness of what real food is, and keep it very basic. If you eat real food, what I mean by real food is, you know, cooking brown rice instead of Uncle Ben's Minute Rice, or actually making your own soup as opposed to buying canned and pre-made soups.
Right on.
That kind of thing. If you keep it very simple, then you don't have to be worried so much about calorie counting and grams of carbohydrates and grams of sodium and all the things that we are now teaching people
great
to
advice.
Do by reading labels.
Mm-hmm.
So, because then again, you start getting confused and obsessed, and we're back full circle to taking the enjoyment and the pleasure out of eating. And from a health perspective, with different kinds of conditions, quite honestly, I don't really see a huge deficit in health if people simply just eat whole food all day long and stop worrying about how many carbs and proteins and fats they're having. They actually feel better. They look better. They sleep better. Their skin improves. All kinds of health benefits occur just simply by eating whole foods. And it keeps it nice and simple, and it takes a lot of the worry away for people.
Jane, we just got about another 2 minutes before we have to break for the news, and you know.
But great advice. That was good, solid advice. I like that. Yeah.
I mean, we've gotten rid of one myth. The myth that, you know, if you eat properly, to eat properly, you can still enjoy it, and you can still enjoy your food.
Mm-hmm.
Another myth out there, and I think it's a myth to some degree, is everyone thinks they're really too busy.
Yeah.
And it's true. I mean, you know, 40 years ago, you know, most homes had homemakers in them. Not all of them, but most of them did.
Mm-hmm.
Demographically, we've changed significantly. You know, that is now less than 10% of our population, a home where there's a stay-at-home homemaker. And most households have singles. And so people say, you know, how do I have time to do this?
Yeah, I think all those factors are really legit concerns, and I deal a lot with parents. A large part of my practice while I was still in Victoria was working with kids, and so therefore working with moms and dads, mostly moms. And it is tricky. However, I grew up in a single parent household a little while ago, and what was available to us was mostly whole foods, and we somehow, you know, my mom somehow managed to do that. And I think part of the problem is we have too many choices now, and we have more and more and more easy food choices that are tempting, and you know, it's something that is a go-to for lots of people. When you have so many choices, it sometimes makes the situation even harder to figure out.
Mm-hmm.
So if, you know, theoretically, if all we had available to us was, you know, produce and whole grains that you had to cook and fresh fruit and things like that, I think somehow we'd probably figure it out. So I think that's part of the problem. But yeah, certainly in my practice, I'm always sitting down with moms and saying, here, it really can be simpler than our society is making it out to be. It can be very, very simple. We just have to take the stress down, take a breath, and let's organize your day so that you're not spending hours and hours trying to figure out what to make.
Jane, I'm sorry. I get to interrupt you.
Oh, please. No.
There's a couple of other things I definitely want to talk to you about.
Sure.
I mean, can we convince you to stay online after the show and join us after the news, I should say, and continue with us for another 15-minute segment?
Sure, I'd be happy to.
Okay, thank you very much. We're just going to break for the news.